Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Blink, Sir Grace the Fresh Adventurer. Destroying bandit camps in the Ironwood Forest surrounding Fairburn Point.
Blink, Sir Grace the Bandit. Attacking caravans, stealing gold. Being killed.
Blink,
Sir Grace the Minstrel. Singing songs for the drunks at the bar. Songs of heroism. People listen to songs.
Blink. 2,000 eyes, 1,000 plans, and all requiring a personal touch. This is the State of Grace.
Now and then you catch glimpses of the host that you're with. It's There's so many of them, endlessly copied. Every kobold looks the same to you. Every kobold has only ever looked like a kobold to you.
That was true of Sir Grace from the beginning.
They are one of the beast races, of course. The kobolds have been up since dawn, and so have several of the dragons. Crucially, not all of them.
What's the camp looking like?
Dragon camp is a lot more set up than it was yesterday. A bunch of the marquees were already set up yesterday. It's like yesterday was about setting up what needed to be there. Now they're putting up like poster. It's like a fair almost. They're putting up multicolored posters or ribbons. What do you call the?
Like little tassels. I know what you mean.
You see that? You can hear music in the distance. You can hear different competing little bands of music going on in the distance. It'd be a lot of kobold music, which is very discordant, but in a kind of pleasing way almost.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of like plucking banjos. A bit like that as well, yeah. You hear a few kobolds playing their, you know, the classic kobold instruments. The banjo.
Yes.
The
washboard.
Yeah, the washboard. The dog.
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course.
A staple of all kobold music, yeah.
Yeah. Can I see, like, obviously these are the kobolds, but are more dragons arriving?
It doesn't look like... it doesn't look like.
Okay.
Although it's hard to tell. Obviously, dragons are quite large creatures, but there are so many here already. Like I said, I think it was 316. Yeah, 316 dragons you counted yesterday.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like...
I would have to count again, basically, and I don't know if I could be bothered doing that. Does it seem like they're organizing for, like, the trial yet, or does it seem like it's still... We're still in, like, preparations?
The trial is definitely not starting. You wouldn't even say necessarily the preparations have begun yet. A lot of dragons have woken up at dawn, and you can hear the one thing that isn't kobolds either just chatting or playing instruments. The one thing that you can hear loudly is the deep rumbling baritone of many different dragons beginning their morning religious observances. This is something that, Sir Grace, you know about this. Some dragons, depending on if they, what gods that they worship, some dragons observe with the morning, some dragons observe with midday, some dragons observe at night, or even, sorry, with the sunset and with night. It varies, and it also, even within worship of specific gods, it can vary even more within that, depending if you're, like, for example, one of the big gods is Daedalus. If you're many worshippers of Daedalus will worship in the morning, so you presume that's a lot of what you're hearing right now. But there are some who see morning worship as almost heretical and believe that sunset worship is what should be observed.
Okay, so only the dragons, it's like a subset of the dragons are worshipping right now in the morning. Yeah.
Your experience with this is that you know there's so many, just because dragon society is so minutely separated and segregated, different groups of dragons are so different. They stay apart so much for so long that... It is kind of the religious observances alone are kind of a nightmare for dragons, as a lot of dragons will, like some worshippers of Daedalus, if they hear someone doing a morning observation, they will leave. And they'll come back when they know it's over.
Does it seem like that despite this like discord, the dragons are for the Geonokischion, like kind of, what am I trying to say? Like,
I don't know.
Are the dragons peaceful kind of for the Junu Kishan? Like they're not, even though they might want to leave typically because somebody's doing morning worship, they're sticking around because they're like, well, this is more important than that presently.
You actually wouldn't know this.
Okay.
You've never, as well as you may or may not know dragons, you have never encountered a group of more than like three dragons at once where they weren't actually just fighting each other. Junu Kishan is a very rare occurrence. Yeah. To get this many dragons all at once is like a nightmare. not when they get here.
It's
but
like
just,
an organizational
yeah,
nightmare.
Organizationally, it's a nightmare, yeah.
Can I, like, not do a lap, because I imagine the space is gigantic, but can I, or do I think it would be useful to wander the grounds a little bit and see if I could get a sense of where the dragons are leaning in relation to how the trial will go?
Okay. Doing that would involve speaking to a lot of the dragons. Like, you really only... The only way you could get an accurate summary is essentially by talking to a lot of these dragons. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you like the high priest to go with or work separately to you?
I think probably best if we work separately.
Do you want her doing the same thing?
Yes.
She...
Through our fisherman waking up having breakfast, we formulate that plan. Perhaps if we walk around and we speak to the dragons individually as though we're just curious as to what they think the outcome might be, that might be beneficial. Might arouse less suspicion if we do it separately.
Of course, my lord. We'll get on it immediately.
Sounds good.
Your wife drops her scones.
So I'll go as Morlock Brush, and I will just, as though I'm, because, you know, the reason that we, at least on paper, the reason we're here is just kind of out of curiosity, really, right? Like, that's the deceit.
Yeah.
So just as though I'm a sort of curious outsider, I'll go and just talk to the dragons.
You learn that, I don't know if you knew this already, the trial is not about the Necrowizard's guilt. That is not in doubt.
Yeah.
The trial is about what should his punishment be.
Yes, yes, sure.
The dragons seem quite divided. There are largely speaking, there are three different schools of thought. There are some dragons, there is a not insubstantial amount of dragons, who lean into a very... I wouldn't describe it as live and let live, but a lot of dragons are very isolationalist by nature, and so they see this as not, even though it was a crime against dragon kind, they don't see it as a dragon problem.
Yeah, okay.
So there is a quite sizable portion of dragons who are here to vote that nothing be done.
Sure, okay.
And they would see the Necrowizard go free, essentially.
Okay, that's not then, good.
Then there is the next sizable proportion seems to be people wanting the Necrowizard's head.
Okay.
They want him dead. But they're uncertain. There's a lot of, you can see infighting, a lot of fractionalization within this faction.
Yeah.
As a lot of people aren't actually sure. They are aware enough of the Necrowizard that they're like, how do we make sure he dies?
Yeah.
Because this is, not this exact thing, but this has happened before.
Yeah, absolutely. How did I get rid of him most recently? Because that lasted a while.
Most recently would have been...
It would have been the Necrowizard fight before the birth of my daughter.
Yes.
Yes. And that was just a straight murder.
Yeah.
But presumably I must have done something for him to have, at least in so grace. But then I suppose... No, he started acting again the moment I got good.
Mm.
So for a good, however old Tiffany is, he was dormant. So what did I do? Or do I know what I did? Or was it the kind of thing where Sir Grace killed the Necrowizard and then left it up to the courts as to how to do away with him that time?
I would say you are vaguely aware. Well, I think, Sir Grace, after the events of Fall from Grace 3, after the events of that, you were pretty much done.
Yes, absolutely.
And so the Necrowizard... You didn't see it as your problem anymore, and you are aware that the Necrowizard came back at a certain point and was causing problems,
but it was never
anything grand like what he used to do.
So it came back and just sort of acted a nuisance. Okay.
Kind of like bothering other lesser people.
Cool. So it's not so much that the Necrowizard was in some way resurrected the moment I got good. It's like the moment I got good, he started taking all this dragon blood.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Stepped up after that, yeah.
Can I send away another person in Fairburn Point to check the records that the king might have kept on the Necrowizard?
In Fairburn Point?
No, so to head
to Hydale.
Yes.
That's going to take a while.
That's okay. I'll just send them off just to be safe.
Okay. Well, you
whoever I have closest to Hydale,
yeah,
I send off to Hydale.
Okay. That will take, at the very least, it's going to take maybe a month.
Yeah, that's all right. It's just, it's going to be, look, knowing what's happening here, unless they decide to behead him or whatever, that's just hedging my bets.
Yeah. And then?
Some farmer in a field, mid-scythe swing, drops the scythe, gets up and starts walking to Hydale.
Oh, just walking.
Yeah.
And then finally, there's one last faction that believe, rather than killing the Necrowizard, well, this faction's also got some splintering in it, but for whatever reason, they believe either that murder is too high a price for any crime.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that they believe execution is too high a price for any crime, or that they believe that the Necrowizard maybe can't be killed so easily and they're scared of they're worried about
him returning.
Killing him and then him just returning.
So they've
they want to imprison.
Imprisonment. Well, I, as Morlock Brush, I inquire, if imprisonment was the decision, what manner of prison would you hold him in?
There is some debate in that.
Mm-hmm.
Some dragons wish to hand him over to carcery.
Oh, yeah.
And let, these are the very isolationist dragons who are like, this is a human problem.
Sure. The moment they mention carcery, I become very briefly Punchinello, and I'm like, I don't know if we want to give one of my former greatest enemies to another one of my enemies, and then I jump back to Morlock Brush.
Some say that the prison that he's in currently is enough and should be sufficient.
Interesting.
Then there's a scattering of a bunch of different opinions.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Like anything from a cage out in the wood.
Yeah.
One dragon who thinks he's very clever is like, how would you hide a leaf? Why? Put it in a forest, of course. And just a cage somewhere really far away.
Absolutely.
No special magical protections or anything like that. Just somewhere where people don't often go, essentially,
for sure.
So that it's not attracting attention to itself. Some dragons are like, I have a personal dungeon that he could be placed in.
I imagine,
and a bunch of other dragons.
Yeah, a lot of like mythical, legendary prisons.
Absolutely.
The Forever Jail. Oh.
There is speak of a spell, a powerful maze spell that might trap one indefinitely.
But there's kind of like such dissenting opinion as to what to do that I can't really get a sense from this. Of where the tide is turning.
Not exactly, actually. The strongest faction is definitely the just, he's not a dragon problem, let him go faction.
That's unfortunate.
That's you think if a vote were held right now, you think that'd be what won?
Can I get a sense, just through like listening to dragon gossip, of the exact extent of his crime? So he took some dragon blood, from one dragon,
He killed a dragon by exsanguinating them.
Yes.
And he assaulted two other dragons and attempted to take all of their
blood. Exsanguination. Can I tell from my extensive knowledge as an adventurer and also my, quite expansive knowledge of all the people that I've consumed, can I draw on that to figure out what he might be doing? Because my first thought, and I might have done this already, but my first thought is that he's trying to in some way turn himself into a dragon. That seems like the most obvious thing that he could be doing. But he could also be trying to develop a bunch of resistances. I'm just trying to see what his plan might be.
The extent of your knowledge of dragons is mostly about either the brief encounters you've had with friendly dragons, which I think would have ended quite quickly. I don't think a lot of dragons...
No. Sir Grace, Dragon Slayer would probably be one of the many titles that, attached, are wagoned to his name.
Mm. The brief friendly encounters you've had with dragons have not really furnished you with a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
It's been mostly about, if you encountered a dragon, it was because it was villainous and it needed to be slayed.
Sure.
So your understanding of draconic magic is limited to how is it used against me?
Yes, sure.
Which means that you don't really know, you are aware, as anyone with a magical aptitude is, you are aware that every part of the dragon is powerfully magical.
Yeah.
The blood is no more magical than any other part of the dragon.
The dragons do know that I have come from Fairburn Point. Yeah?
Yes.
Do they know what it, well, that's probably another thing I try and figure out. What do they know about what's going on in Fairburn Point? Not necessarily, I mean, this is important too, but not necessarily from the perspective of like, do these dragons know that Sir Grace has secretly seized power?
Yeah.
But more, do they know Sir Grace is the current caretaker of Fairburn Point? Like, if I start talking about Sir Grace as Morlock Brush, would they know, would that seem suspicious?
If you bring up Fairburn Point, you get as far as learning that they are aware that the dragon you consumed, the dragon that you killed and then consumed within Fairburn Point, Vercingetorix.
Vercingetorix, yeah.
Vercingetorix is dead.
Yes.
They are aware of that, but then as you're trying to learn more, if they know about Sir Grace being in charge right now, you hear a and all the dragons start making their way to the main pavilion.
What's happening?
One of the dragons turns around. The day's events are to be catalogued so that we may know what is to be done today.
And I imagine I am allowed, as well as the High Priest, to attend this also?
I assume, the dragon says.
I nod sagely and I'll follow the dragons.
At a rather large podium, everything is dragons.
Yeah, I feel like I am tiny compared to the...
You can see that there has been some allowances made for...
Oh, there's not a lot so of kobolds here,
Well, no allowances have been made for kobolds.
That's funny.
The kobolds, you
they're
see...
Like the majority of the people that are here are kobolds and there's no allowances made.
You see, to climb the steps to get into the grandstands, kobolds have to pile on top of each other and then climb each other up.
Awesome.
But there is, for you, some allowances have been made.
Good.
You can see that for you and the High Priest, a little space has been cleared, and there's a human-sized grandstand.
Cool.
Well, it's built for two.
Yeah.
Enough for you and no kobolds. There's maybe little, like, signs on it as well.
No kobolds,
I was going to say the High Priest and Captain Morlock Brush.
Yeah.
But there's probably also a kobold there. With a baton, and anytime another kobold gets close, he smacks them on the knuckles. Only for the guests.
I nodded that. That's good. I'm glad to have him here.
The kobold takes the little signs off as you and the High Priest sit down.
Mm-hmm.
In the center of this space, there is a podium sized and made for a dragon. At first, you don't even realize what it is. It's a kind of a more circular space, a circular wooden thing. You're not sure its original purpose. It only has the one right now.
Yeah.
But then Rattan the Shameful climbs into it, and you realize for a draconic form, this would be quite comfortable.
Oh, I see.
He may sit as a cat does, but use it like a lectern.
Cool.
Sitting at this lectern, Rattan the Shameful calls out,
"And now that everyone is in attendance," he says, looking around
the space, just making sure that everyone is indeed here, "today's events are ordered thus. From now until about midday," so for about 3 hours, you learn what is today's schedule.
Yes.
The first thing is that a proper identification of every dragon in attendance must be made. Their age, their type, where they sit in the hierarchy of what dragons consider importance. They then set the agenda for the Genu Kisjan. Formal invitations must then follow the informal invitations given to each dragon.
Okay.
While Rattan is explaining this part, there's a small interruption where a dragon complains quite loudly, "What for your young, the hatchlings, and yet to be hatched?" And Rattan gives a little gesture and says,
"I will set some kobolds about creating a hatchery."
He looks around and a bunch of kobolds scatter. You then hear hammering as they begin building a hatchery.
They are currently instantly building a hatchery.
Security arrangements will be finalized, including protective magics and details. The seating arrangements will then need to be organized.
Okay.
And they will have to ensure that there's no conflict. A long amount of time. Now, there's like a kind of, you don't think Rattan has thrown it to the crowd. You think the crowd has decided that now is the time to air some grievances. And a bunch of dragons start complaining about who they do and don't want to sit next to. And after that happens, this is just explaining what's going to happen today.
We're not even started, really. Yeah.
Then Rattan explains that the roles of Jisfem, or Herald, Tisdok, which is Scribe, Ipgus, which is Enforcer, and Kiffy, judge will then need to be assigned.
Okay.
Each of these roles play an important part in the trial. The gisfem, or herald, is kind of like a... You might call them an MC, almost.
Yeah, okay, they're kind of, fair enough. They'll, like, officiate the whole thing. Yeah, okay.
There's the tisdoc, the scribe, which is pretty obvious. Yeah, sure. Their job is to write down everything that happens. Mm-hmm. But they also, part of their job is to check legal documents and records.
Okay, yeah, cool.
The ipgis, or enforcer, is basically in charge of ensuring that the sentence is carried out.
Sure.
And then the kifhi, judge, also pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You from the audience, you get a distinct impression that Ratten the Shameful is going to be named Kiffy, the judge.
Cool. Good to know.
Then there will be a lunch break, which is very ironic because this entire meeting ends at around lunch. Then the court can proceed to commence. They can proceed to commence.
Okay.
And the guilty can be brought to trial. As I said previously, the Necrowizard's guilt is kind of already assumed.
It's just sentence.
This is just sentencing.
Okay.
During this time, do you say or do anything? You're just listening patiently?
No, I think I'm just listening.
Okay.
And formulating.
A little conversation happens because lunch is now improperly timed and everything is reordered so that lunch is now properly timed and then you have a lunch break.
Okay. My God. So from this, does it feel like we're going to get to the sentencing today or...
It feels like a tomorrow thing.
Yeah, it feels like a tomorrow thing. Okay. But is the Necrowizard here?
No, you don't see him present.
Mm.
He could be, but, well, you would assume not. You don't see him anywhere around. And right now, you've got a pretty good view of everything.
Yeah, like if he was here, I don't know where he is. Yeah. Well, maybe I ask one of the dragons. Out of curiosity, the Necrowizard, is he present or will he be brought in later for the trial?
It is hard to explain these things in the common tongue. There is a draconic word for this, but he is both present and not present right now. I am unaware of how aware he is of the proceedings, but if he were sufficiently magically adept, he would certainly know.
Possibly he's, like, not here, but in a click the dragons could summon him here. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Okay. Yes. I think this is going to be a game of patience.
It is indeed going to be a game of patience, you think to yourself, Sir Grace, as you speak with Viscount Ignatius Pugliese.
Yeah. Okay.
It is a taxing thing to to speak with this man. Breakfast is finished.
Yes.
And the Viscount has informed you that he wants to do a tour.
Mm-hmm.
Gladly. I wish to see the battlements, the local garrison, and of course the docks. These things I will then obviously include in my report. And Ada wishes to have the documents she wants. He gestures to Ada.
Mm-hmm.
I need some finances for some of the smaller, she's flipping through her notes, through some of the smaller settlements that fall within Fairburn Point's catchment area. She reaches out with a piece of paper. She initially looks like she's handing it to you, but then the patrician, Ontvos, he takes it instead, and he starts looking through it himself while you can focus on what she's saying. Then I'm going to need a list of all comings and goings on ships, fishing, and trade. She looks over at the Viscount, who was taking out a nail file and is fixing his nails. On the way in, I saw that the walls have mounted ballista, which should have been contributed to the war effort. I'm sure it's just a mistake, but we received what we thought all of your ballista
were. Must have been some kind of clerical error. Yeah. We'll look into that for you, I assure you.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Patrician Ottvos, closing the piece of paper, you see his eyes flick between Ada and you very surreptitiously, like he... You can see there's a bit of worry in his face.
My liege, forgive me, Viscount Ada, but this paper has reminded me of an issue at the docks. A small matter, but I must consult. It is, he looks at the Viscount and says, a matter of security. You understand, here at the edges, things are less safe than within the Imperial Corps. The Viscount nods and gestures like, well, of course.
Yeah.
The patrician gestures for the two of you to step aside.
Yeah, we do so.
These settlements have been emptied for our own war efforts. Any records for these towns will show that. We will need fabrications to pretend as if we still have people within these settlements. The records for ships, fishing, and trade will need fabrication as well. I have already begun someone on this, but I need to know, my liege, what direction should we take? What should the records say? And the ballista on the walls, we will need an excuse for this as well.
Are there any local factions that could be considered enemies of Fairburn Point and Candor?
You have destroyed this threat already, but they don't know that. Out to the north, there is a horde, or was, I should say, a horde of gnolls and hyenas, which you could blame this on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you might not necessarily want to say this, but a cult could be blamed as well.
I was thinking about that too, yeah.
That does kind of bring a little bit of heat on you as well, because the cult situation within Fairburn Point, I wouldn't necessarily call it an open secret. Like, it is pretty well hidden from the outside world. Yeah. But it is something that you could very easily, because there are cults within Fairburn Point.
Yes.
Legitimate evidence could very easily be found.
Yes.
Banditry might be harder to prove, but is not unreasonable as well.
The explosion in Sunsin, that left a bunch of refugees too, didn't it?
Yep.
What did we do with the gnoll bodies?
The corpses were either torn apart for fuel and food or otherwise converted into undead servants.
Mm. Could we stage an attack with those remaining undead servants?
An attack could be staged, perhaps. It would take some time, though.
Mm, yeah. I with the ballista, we blame that on banditry. We blame that on continuing gnoll attacks. We are somewhat on the frontier, and Fairburn Point has a reputation. I think we could use that to our advantage. As for the docks and incoming and outgoing ships, our proximity to the Lonely Tower will probably help us smooth over some of the discrepancies there as well. If we present as beset on all sides, then, well, our defenses, which might seem curious to the Viscount and the Accountant, perhaps won't.
I can arrange this, my liege, but the question would then become, as these problems beset upon all sides, once the Queen is dealt with Blue Beach, she will turn her attention here. Would your plans be completed by then?
What would the time frame be, if you could hazard a guess?
With the insurrection, it will depend. I am aware that the forces marching on the city have been waylaid some. This would buy us perhaps 4 months, maybe six, before they even reach the city gates, provided Blue Beach mounts a sizable defense along the way. Then the siege itself could last, well, if Candor cannot capture the seas around Blue Beach, which seems quite likely. I would say that Blue Beach could hold indefinitely. So, perhaps anything from a year and a half to never.
What is, Adam, the most populous city near me?
The most populous?
Yeah, the one with the most people.
North Hallow. North Hallow? To the east, yeah.
And what are North Hallow's defenses like?
Sizable. Okay. North Hallow's quite strong because it was once on the front line with back when Goldcrest was a threat. Mm. Although, actually, you would know a lot of North Hallow, after the collapse of Goldcrest and with the war in Blue Beach on the other side of Candor, North Hallow has a lot of defensive fortifications, but not many troops right now.
Okay. Well, troops is what I need.
Yeah.
Well, then where would there be the most bodies? if I were to, over the, this is a long-term plan, but if I were to source bodies, convert them, and then send them to defend Blue Beach and attack Blue Beach in the hope of continuing that and making it drag out to buy myself time, where would be the best place near me to source them?
It's a risky plan for two reasons. Mm-hmm. If it works, you can buy yourself a lot of extra time. You could double the length of the war. But best place to get bodies from where you are currently is probably, if you were willing to go to Goldcrest, there's enough chaos going on there that you could empty entire villages without people really getting suspicious. But that's pretty far away.
Yeah.
There are closer opportunities, but the closer opportunities are the Imperial Corps, which is very dangerous because if anyone notices, they'll be on you. They will be on you straight away. Additionally, while your plan is not, it's a good plan. Yeah. And like I said, it could double the length of the war potentially, but you're sending a lot of ink creatures into a place where there's going to be about, there's going to be a lot of casters.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's very likely that, or it's very possible that someone's going to kill an ink creature, be like,
discover
what the
what's
fuck
going
was
on,
that?
And then trace it back to me.
It
yes.
might not necessarily get traced back to you,
but
it,
it'll arouse
is,
suspicion. Yeah. It's not a.
Although, you don't know. I mean, arousing. I don't know. Yeah, it's it could. It really depends on how clever your opponents are. Because a soldier being killed and exploding into ink, they might be like, oh, this is some new sorcery that Blue Beach is committing. Yes. It's if they can trace it back to you.
Yeah.
Another option, because Fairburn Point, this will take a little while, though, because a lot of your boats are busy right now.
Yeah.
But Fairburn Point is a very coastal city with a lot of fishing.
Going up the coast, maybe. Mm. What's the current political state of Jaren's Outpost?
Of Jaren's Outpost?
I'm just looking up the coast.
Jaren's Outpost and Bull Ridge are the two calmest places of Goldcrest right now. Jaren's Outpost, you are aware, has a stable leadership right now.
Okay.
The O'Rourke in charge.
Yeah, okay.
Bull Ridge is also just very stable because its economy has kind of always run on adventurers.
And
there's just so many. You get, like, a lot of tavern brawls, but you don't get a lot of evil wizards, you know, in Bull Ridge.
Yeah.
Goldcrest and Haran are pretty chaotic, even though they are on the King's Trail.
Yeah.
But neither of them are on the coast.
Yes, it's getting too far afield. I imagine also all of this is happening in Sir Grace's head over the course of, like, 30 seconds while I formulate what to do next. Next question, the Union. Mm-hmm. Silver Butter Shore, Gnar
and Silver Butter Shore are actually part of the quote-unquote Nation of Pirates. It's not really a country or anything like that. They're very lawless cities where the Pirate King reigns.
Yes. Well, I'm just wondering if I would... That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then I suppose if I were to get those people and send them to Blue Beach, a bunch of pirates suddenly joining the fight is suspicious.
Not really, actually. Blue Beach has always been, Blue Beach is where Candor got its navy from.
Yeah, okay.
And they make the best boats there. They have the best sailors there. Blue Beach and Gnar historically have been old rivals, primarily because Blue Beach, as part of Candor, was opposed to the pirates. But now that Blue Beach is fighting Candor, it would not be unreasonable for them to make to flip from rivals to allies, because Gnar also hates Candor and would really love to bloody their nose.
Okay.
It's actually quite plausible.
Send emissaries to Gnar. Begin infection.
It will be done, my liege.
Then have whoever is infected join the fight at Blue Beach. With them added to the war effort over there, when it's finished, I say let them come.
Okay.
All right.
Then, well, do you want to go on the tour with Viscount Pugliese?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. While that's happening, Ada's going to be reviewing documents back at the castle.
This is another question politically, because I was thinking about this. Politically, how has Fairburn Point fared underneath Candanese rule, underneath the rule of basically, would I have the like the right to be like, in the interest of fairness, I would like to assign one of my own accountants to Ada to make sure that everything was above board on their end?
No, that okay. would be, no, you would not. It's a, Candor at this point in time is an yeah. absolute monarchy.
Yeah, okay.
The queen has, well, yeah, that would be seen as insurrectionist,
okay.
actually.
Never mind.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's okay. I think that, so Grace's current feeling yeah. is that in a weird way, no matter what Ada finds, if Sir Grace can ingratiate himself to the Viscount Ignatius Puglisi, then he's more likely to be seen favorably and for like discrepancies to be swept under the rug a little bit. That's yeah. his current feeling. So I'm going to very happily go on this tour and be play perfect host mm-hmm. with the Viscount.
Well, the first thing you do is visit the battlements, mm-hmm. which is on the castle that you're currently on. You do a little tour mm. of where defenders would be sitting should, for whatever reason, Fairburn Point come under siege.
Yeah. Well, as we pass the Ballistae, they're the ones we have up there?
Yeah.
As we pass the Ballistae, I'd like to, like, rest on one and be like, once again, I'd like to apologize. These should have gone for the war effort, but they've been extremely useful for us here at Fairburn Point. I don't know if you know about the Gnoll infestation that's currently affecting the surrounding area.
Your lie is very plausible, mm. and the Viscount is very ready to believe that gnolls are a problem yeah. here at the edges of Candor. Ah, yes, I see that you, yes.
They've been very, very useful for us, yes.
He runs a finger down along them, and it comes along, it comes off not with dust or grime, but with a bit of grease used to keep the weapon operational. Ah, yes. We find that in Hydale we have enough time to not just keep them greased, but keep them clean as well, I suppose. This is the limitations that you must work under. You have a Castellan, do you? A dedicated ballista Castellan? Or just one Castellan for everything?
Do we have... he's giving me the business here, but... do we have what? Do we have any Castellans? I guess not really.
Yeah, I think... the Castellan position is probably unfilled, maybe partially because he resisted.
Yeah.
And then also partially because you didn't feel like you needed one.
Well, the trick is it's all Sir Grace.
Yeah.
so Sir Grace himself not being a Castellan. I mean, obviously I might have access to that,
yeah.
that skill set, but that we wouldn't have a dedicated one.
No, definitely not a dedicated
one. We're all
one.
Sharing the same sort of consciousness.
Yeah.
I give him like a kind of wry smile. One for all the Ballistae, I'm afraid.
Ah.
We are somewhat limited here at the fringes on the frontier.
Your Castellan, which school did he go to?
I'm not sure. You'd have to speak to him. Yeah, I mean,
do you have schools out here?
Again, it's not my area of expertise. I'm a former adventurer still at heart.
I can see, he says, looking you up and down. I must admit, though, adventurer perhaps once, but things have changed recently, wow, yes? Regent now, but
yeah.
I see something else behind Zu's eyes. Something darker. And then he says that, leaves it be, and keeps walking.
That's strange. It's a strange thing for him to say.
Maybe you linger at that ballista yeah, as he walks on for a moment.
What could he mean by that? And then I'll follow after him. And I'll keep talking. Well, you know, one can't adventure forever. Certainly not a man of my age. And then, you know, as I think happens to a lot of old adventurers, not that there are many of us, we often turn to politics. And I mean, again, this wouldn't have been my necessarily first choice. But, you know, I like to think I'm doing my best with what I have.
Yes, I see, I see. I have always found that how old are you, sorry?
Who can say? Closer to 60 than 50, that's for sure.
Ah, yes. I am not far behind you, but as you can see, I still retain much of my youthfulness. Partially elven heritage, I believe.
Oh, I see.
Yes, 167th on my mother's side.
I like maybe like, you know...
67?
He's got it down so precisely. I like maybe gesture to like the wrinkles and lines on my face. Well, the adventuring life certainly left its mark on me.
Not all that left its mark on you, eh?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, well,
I think we both know, of course, what's going on.
I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I see it here. I see it in your face. I see it in the faces of everyone, of course. It is obvious.
I'm still lost.
Okay. Quick question before we continue onwards to the local garrison.
Uh-huh.
He, from the battlements, gestures out to the docks.
Mm-hmm.
Is this not the Blue Beachian flag? You look out and you see a tall ship is arriving at the docks. It is unmistakably bearing the colors of Blue Beach. It's a large ship of war.
That's very strange, I say.
Perhaps this is something you wish to attend to?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind me taking a moment.
I will, of course, inspect the local garrison without.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'll meet you for lunch, I'm sure, I say.
Of course.
And then I would like to head to a ship of war. Okay. The fuck?
You're rushing.
Yeah.
Sir Grace, a little, maybe quickly throwing yourself into some people on the docks to get different angles and different
looks. Try and figure out what the hell's happening.
You can see on the deck of the ship, there are Candanese Marines, soldiers, and you see Blue Beachian, these would be. They would not, obviously, they don't consider themselves Candanese anymore.
No, very specifically.
Yeah, you see Blue Beach Marines, you see Blue Beach sailors, they're flying the Blue Beach colors. This is nothing if not... This is essentially an enemy ship.
Yes, coming to dock. Even for me, in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the deceit and without, this is an enemy ship.
Your heart is going a mile a minute, Punchinello.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You found yourself stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Can I tell what spell is being cast on me?
It's already finished. Okay. You unfortunately
kind of just caught the tail end of it, yeah. You cast a spell on Punchinello?
Or nothing much. Just a little, just a little home spell.
This is most strange. Why you do this to Punchinello?
Oh, well, excellent question. Tell you what, though. Tenete, if I may have a word... I will be right back.
Can I, as they leave, try to determine what has changed in my own body? Like what effect the spell could have had on me?
You can see that the spell had no effect on you. Nothing's changed about you.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the mess hall with me?
Yeah.
Right
there's
now?
There's a few. No one's paying attention to you, really. There's no one at the officer's table.
Okay.
But the general mess table has a few people. But no one really, like I said, paying attention to you.
I guess I'll head back out onto the deck of the ship. Like,
okay.
I think I'll chase after them.
Oh, after them?
Yeah. Because
they're not going out onto the deck.
Oh, okay. People will probably be able to tell if I'm eavesdropping, hey.
It depends.
It's kind of a busy, yeah.
You'd need to follow them first to find out.
Okay. Yeah, well, I will follow them. Okay. Absolutely.
I assume surreptitiously?
Yes, yeah.
What is your stealth punch,
I do not think it's good.
You're...
Oh, no, it's great.
Yeah, you got a decent stealth.
Yeah.
You didn't roll great.
Not decent enough.
You follow Ikahika and Pom Penny Farthing as they go a little bit further into the bowels of the ship. There is an officer's quarters, presumably the Tenete's room.
Yeah.
They go in there, and Pom quite clearly catches you. He sees you down the corridor and then closes the door.
They are aware I'm here. Do I think that if I, like, snuck up to the door and tried to listen that way? Oh, actually, I go up on... Because how many levels is this ship?
So the ship has 3 levels.
Okay.
Including the top.
Top. And what level are they on? They be on the one just under the top?
Yeah.
Can I go onto the deck of the ship and then try and climb over the side and listen that way?
Yes, you could.
I do that.
You will need to make a... There's a watch on the deck of the ship. You'll need to make a stealth check to avoid them seeing you do that.
No
I
worries.
Assume.
Yeah. That's fine.
All right, you roll a bit better this time.
Okay, thank God.
You climb over the side. Oh, and you'll need to make a check to climb, but you're good at that as well. Mm-hmm. You rolled poorly, but it's not hard to do.
Okay, phew.
You climb over the side, and you get down. It's at the back, the rear of the ship. There's windows and stuff like that. I assume you're trying to avoid being seen as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say your previous stealth check is enough for that. You catch the tail end of the conversation. It's it was a very brief conversation. Mm-hmm. You only just made it in time to catch Tenete saying, "Well then, we'll have to keep a very close eye on our friend and whoever's controlling them."
Fuck. Okay. Okay. This is not really a question you can answer, but what I'm wondering is, do they think that only I am being mind controlled? I mean, I guess they wouldn't know about Sir Grace's expansive control. I'm just wondering if Punchinello were to have an accident, whether that would be the end of their suspicion.
You've got to stop doing this. All you caught was, "Well, then we're going to have to keep an eye on our friend and whoever's controlling them." Okay. That's all the information you have. And then both of them, they were sitting at the desk, both of them get up and they leave.
Okay, that's fine. I'll keep that in my back pocket. If Punchinello needs to fall from a great height to avail their suspicion, or this is maybe more cost efficient, imprisoned somewhere in Fairburn Point, then I can use him again later. That's maybe more cost efficient. Then that so be it. But until then, he lives. Eventually, we're gonna have to turn these people. Okay, I take this opportunity while I have a little break to send my mind.
I assume you climb back up onto the desk.
Yes, absolutely. And I just kind of walk around and try and act inconspicuous.
Sure.
Because I'm still kind of like trying to sell the ruse that I'm.
You set Punchinello to sandbox mode.
Yeah, exactly. Like a sim. He can just walk around and inspect things and go, "Oh, oogie boogie."
I don't know anymore.
How do you hear, bro?
I don't know.
I'm going to send my mind very briefly to that adventuring party, to that halfling who's a member of the Greyhill Free Company, fighting the Illithid to check whether or not we got that tadpole.
You experience an insane sensation. It's something a human being, for the first time ever, any entity, conscious or otherwise, experiences being the one who's having their brains sucked out. And also because the halfling, that adventurer, was part goo.
Yeah.
Being the one sucking someone else's brain out at the same time.
True.
As you unintentionally take control of an Illithid.
Ha! Oh, that's good news. I thought I'd lost the guy, but
you're the Illithid standing in a group of, I think it was 8 brainless adventurers.
Well, that is an unexpected boon.
Another Illithid turns to you and psychically projects itself into you. This is just how they speak.
Yeah,
psychically projects itself into your mind. Do you think, wait, something's wrong?
Okay. As this Illithid, are there any, is it just 2 Illithids?
Yeah.
I would like to kill this other Illithid. Or if I can goo them, I'll goo them. But if I don't have the time, I'll just kill them.
Highs or lows, I guess?
Highs.
Highs? All right. How long does it take the Illithid hive mind a sec to realize what's happening?
Yes.
As you approach the other Illithid, Sir Grace, you feel a psychic scream. You are all versions of you at once scream.
Yeah.
And then you snap back into Punchinello. Everyone on deck is staring at you.
Apologies, I say. Punchinello get night terrors while just being awake.
I get shield mold. You're in. You're standing with no one else around you, so that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Tendril Grace, you can explain that very easily to your soldiers. Captain Morlock, you have interrupted the meeting. Everyone at the Kent Genu Kiss Jan is staring at you.
Bit by an ant. One million apologies.
And you're Punchinello again.
Yeah.